Blog Talk Radio.
That is designed to give you a bird's eye view and turn over every leaf and every stone as to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our founding fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and our brothers and sisters and our interaction and interdependency with one another, different tribes, and our relationship with other nations, the things we should and I shouldn't do. I saw some things today. I watched the managers. Let's get off the Most High for a moment. We're going to get right back to the Most High because that's most important. But contemporary subject matters we always speak of. I saw the managers, the impeachment managers, suck so to Trump's defense team. The impeachment managers, they were on point. They did their due diligence in their studies, as we try to do in our studies. We do our due diligence also. It seems like they turned over every leaf and every stone. They were quite prepared. Trump team, on the other hand, was just like twiddly D, twiddly dumb. Like they were smoking dope. They were telling fairy tales that only a madman or madwoman could follow. But it seems to me, based upon those who voted for this, that there should be a trial. Only 6 Republicans, along with the Democrats. It seems there are a lot of mad people in the world. They subscribe to this nonsense. If there was true justice in the world, it would be 100% support. See, there is no true justice in America, and neither do they subscribe to true justice, and that is to be expected in an unjust land. So if you're looking for justice in any shape, form, or fashion, sometimes they put it out there just because. But for the most part, it's not so. And you may say to me, Yom Suf, they are trying those who made insurrection against the Capitol. Yes, they are trying some. Last count was 200 plus. But the last count I know was 1,000 people that entered that Capitol. Only 200 plus. Maybe the numbers will go up, but not very much. And they're treating them quite differently. A lady wanted to go on vacation to Mexico. They said, oh, why not? A fellow wanted organic food. Oh, why not? While thousands of brothers and sisters languish in prisons all over this country eating rot good food. You see the difference? Rot good food that you wouldn't feed to an animal. That's their justice. That's what they're showing you. And one more thing. Do you remember when my mother was deadly ill? And I put something on, what is that? I can't remember that thing. It's site. GoFundMe for my mother, recovery, a death-like situation. Let me show you how our thinkers are. Let me show you how we are. I'm talking about our enemies, but let me show you how we are. I saw a woman had posted something, Gorilla Glue Girl, they call her. She had inadvertently put some Gorilla Glue in her hair, and she put on a GoFundMe. You know, it was difficult for me to get, and I'm thankful for all those that contributed to my mother's recovery, most importantly, the Most High, because if it was left up to some of us, my mother wouldn't have survived. But for those that do have their priorities right, I'm very appreciative. But let me show you how we got our priorities wrong. This woman, the GoFundMe girl, the Gorilla Girl, you know, she collected $13,000 in one day to get Gorilla Glue out of her hair. Not a life or death situation, as in my mother and so many other people that are experiencing life or death, homelessness, food shortage. That's why these studies are imperative on the Real Talk for Real People show. Because our thinkers are broken. We don't have our priorities together. That's what I'm getting. I know our enemies got their priority together. But we don't have ours together. That being said, let me bring my brother and friend on from New York City, Cartrell. May the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Shalom, family. Shalom, Brother Yom Suf. Ari, may the Most High bless you. And the
Thank
family
you very
too.
Much. Thank you very much, my brother and friend. May he bless you and your family too.
Yes, sir. I couldn't watch that impeachment
right.
the second time.
Right.
I watched the first presentation, and it was pretty graphic. And I'm sure they got more film, more violence to come.
Exactly.
When they shot that woman that was going through the door, through the window,
yeah.
you could see that they wasn't playing.
They weren't playing.
Security people were not playing.
They
put some fear.
Yeah. They weren't playing. They were serious.
They put some fear in them people because they kind of slowed down a little bit.
Exactly.
But I don't ever recall when all the protests of the Black Lives Matter, city to city and worldwide, where there were ever a police officer that was killed.
No, I don't recall either. It may have been Cadrilla, but I can't recall it.
I remember the white boy walking up and down with an AR-15. They call it AR-15.
Yeah, Rittenhouse. Rittenhouse in Minneapolis, I believe. Rittenhouse. Yeah.
And what happened in that situation?
I
they
think
let that boy go home.
Yeah, he got bond. I think he's got a bond. I think he's violated that bond. I heard.
Right past the police.
Yeah.
Got in the car with his mother, and he went home.
But from my understanding, contrary, even when they caught him and brought him back, from my understanding, I could be. Could be wrong, but from my understanding, he got bonded out. And he
violated
it. Yeah, that's how they do it.
Like you said, it's two systems of justice.
Right.
You was talking about the people they're arresting. I seen a woman doing interviews on CNN, I mean, MSNBC. She's telling you why she at the Capitol busting in because President Trump told her. No, your boy should be in jail.
Exactly.
You on TV interviewing?
Exactly. Proud of it.
And only 200 out of the thousands that we saw with our own eyes.
Exactly. And imagine what they did to the Black Panthers.
Come on, man.
Shot
if our people don't get the message by now.
I know.
In the year 2001, and you've seen law and order in America, because that's what they always talk about, right? Law and order. This is the law and order president. Okay,
yeah.
I didn't see no law, and I don't see no order. Because your man thinks he's above the law. And I think he wants to be nicknamed Teflon Don. You just want to walk away from the mess and the madness.
Exactly.
Like you had nothing to do with it.
Right.
All
dumbfounded. But, Country, I'm going to tell you, to be honest about it, I think if he gets past these senators, I think somebody got something for him. One of these states, and it may be New York. New York is prone to do that. They got something funny. Okay.
Well, he in hot water in Georgia for trying to get them 11,780 votes.
Right. Oh, somebody gonna get it. Somebody gonna get it. Okay.
His taxes gonna be revealed.
Exactly.
Deutsche Bank gonna be exposed for the criminal activity. They've been involved with the Russians and the Saudi Arabians and all Donald Trump's business dealings with his real estate, taking advantage of our people with his real estate. You can't do evil and it don't catch up with you.
Yeah, sooner or later you reap what you sow, Cartrell. My mama used to tell me, Cartrell, you do wrong, wrong gonna follow you. And mama didn't tell no tale on that one, okay?
And as long as it's following you, it's gonna be like your shadow. You can't get away from the shadow, can you? When the light is shining on you.
You certainly can't, Cartrell. That's a fact right there. Cartrell and fellow students, if Cartrell's done with his commentary, turn to Chapter 15 of Devarim. I think I'm close to Devarim.
Devarim.
You know, I got that southern thing. I got the D right, though, this time.
Right.
Devarim. Okay. Chapter 15, bro.
The fact that people didn't help your mother.
Oh,
and the Most High sees that. That we don't live according to the laws of the Most High. Because we read yesterday how we're supposed to take care of the poor and the needy, the fatherless, and the widow with a beautiful system, right?
Right.
Everybody
exactly.
in the land gets 10% of what they, receive from the Most High. And right. that's how we take care of each other. But right. obviously, we're not living under that system because that mm-hmm. help would have came through if we were right. true to what Yah commands us to do.
Yeah.
And also, I just want to give a shout out to the sister from the Supreme, Mary Wells. That's her name, Mary Wells.
Yeah, what happened to her, Mary? Mary?
She
Mary
died, Ryan? Man. She died.
Oh, man.
Yeah, she died.
Okay. I wasn't aware of that. And one thing, Katja, I wanted to let you know that Gregory, Abby, I sent me a picture. I think that was his little brother next to him. That look, if that was his little brother next to him, I said, that little fellow that grew up.
Wow.
But he has his flag. He's just smiling. He's got his flag. Gregory got his flag.
He found out his name? What's his name?
His little brother? No, she didn't say anything. She sent me a picture of a little okay. fellow. I thought that was Gregory's little brother. I could
probably
be.
Is.
Yeah, okay. But I tell you what, babies. Yeah, man, babies grew up fast. That was him. I said, little fellow grew up fast, did. I don't know what great granddaughter feeding that baby, but that baby grew up, man. If that's that baby, I don't know what he eat. He must be eating a whole ox. That baby grew up. All right, chapter 15. I think Abby y'all sent me an update on it. We're gonna find that country. Oh, that was his cousin. Cause I said to myself, no, that couldn't be. That was his cousin, you country listeners. That was his cousin. Okay. Okay. Well, we want to be correct on this show. Every 7 year, you should practice remission of debt, forgiveness of debt to your brothers and sisters. This should be the nature of the remission. Every brother creditor shall remit the due that he claimed from his brother. He should not dun his fellow or kinsman, for the remission proclaimed is of Yah, because Yah said so. And you got to let it slide. But you may dun the foreigner, someone of a different nation, but you must remit whatever is due from your kin. You must let it slide. See, that's what we're talking about, Cartrell. That's why you got to get this information correct. Then we'll know our procedures and protocols. And why? There shall be no needy among you, since Yah your Elohim will bless you in the land that Yah your Elohim is giving you as a hereditary portion. I don't want nobody need nothing in the land. If only you heed, that's what Cottrell is talking about. That's what Yom Suf is talking about. If only you heed Yah, your Elohim, and take care to keep all this instructions that I enjoin upon you this day. For Yah, your Elohim, will bless you, cause and effect. He has promised you. You will extend loans. If you do this, you're going to be in a financial situation. You will be able to extend loans to many nations, but you won't have to borrow from nobody, but require none for yourself, because you're going to be having fat, living high on the sheep, not the hog. You will dominate many nations, but they would not dominate you unlike we are today. We're dominated by every nation. Just look in our communities. See who owns those bodegas. Those liquor stores, all those places in your community. We got to go borrow it from them because it's cause and effect. We always try to take advantage of one another. Just like I was saying, you know, Akacha, I studied this, but I didn't synchronize it with what I told about the woman because we don't have our priorities together when it comes to one another.
Isn't this a beautiful system? So you wouldn't have student loans, you wouldn't be in debt. No Israelite is supposed to be needy. That's amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Your mother wouldn't have been crying out for help because somebody would have been there to fulfill the needs that she had.
Exactly. No Israelite woman or Israelite man would have been crying out. Cause and effect.
We take care of each other. That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, but our thinkers are broken in these lands, Cartrell.
How long are we in debt in this land?
Man, come on, man.
You die with debt, right? And that debt is left on your family.
Exactly. If, however, there is a needy person among you, one of your kinsmen, in any of your settlements, in the land, in our land that Yah, I, Elohim is giving you, do not harden your heart and shut your hand against your needy kin. Don't do that. Rather, you must open your hand, give him or her, lend him sufficient for whatever he or she needs. That's what I'm talking about. Beware, lest you harbor the base thoughts. Don't set your mind like this. Don't have your mind set on this. Don't have your mind set on the 7 year. And the year of remission is approaching. No. Don't do it like that. Don't give because, or not give because of the 7 year, the year of remission. So that you are mean to your needy kinsmen and give them nothing because you know you had to let it go. He will cry out to Yah against you, and you will incur guilt as a result of it. Give to him readily. I don't care. It's the 6 year and the 7 year. And have no regrets when you do so. For in return, cause and effect, Yah, your Elohim, will bless you in all your efforts, in all your undertakings. For there will never cease to be needy ones in your land. You got to look out for one another. There will never cease to be needy ones in your land. You might even be needy one time, which is why I command you, open your hand to the poor and needy kinsmen in your land. If a fellow Hebrew man or woman is sold to you, he should serve you 6 years. And in the 7 year, you should set him free. And when you set him free, do not let him go empty-handed. When he leaves, he's supposed to be having everything, ready to set up shop. Furnish him out of the flock, the threshing floor, the vat, which Yah, your Elohim, has blessed you. With all blessing, the Most High has blessed you in your flocks, your threshing floor, in your vats, your oil, your grapes. I don't care what it is. You make sure they got some. Bear in mind, reason being, that you were slaves in the lands of Mizraim, and Yah, your Elohim, redeemed you. Therefore, I enjoin this commandment upon you. You're supposed to be looking out for one another. But should he say to you, should your brother, fellow Hebrew brother or sister, say to you, because they love you, I don't want to leave you because you treated him right. He loves you in your household. He's grown accustomed to you and your household and happy with you. You should take an owl and put it through his ear and to the door, and he shall become your slave in perpetuity. Do the same with your female slave. When you do set him free, do not feel aggrieved, for in 6 years, he's giving you double service of a hired man. Moreover, Yah, your Elohim, will bless you in all you do, cause and effect, if you do what's right. You should consecrate to Yah, your Elohim, all male firstlings that are born in your herd, in your flock. You must not work your firstling ox or shear your firstling sheep. You and your household shall eat it annually before Yah. You'll bring it and eat it before Yah, your Elohim, in the place that Yah will choose. But if that animal has a defect, lameness, blindness, or any serious defect, you should not sacrifice it to Yah, your Elohim. Eat it in your settlement. The unclean among you, no less than the clean, just like the gazelle and the deer. Only you must not partake of his blood. You should pour it out on the ground like water. Cartrell, my dear brother and friend, what is your commentary on this study subject?
Just how intricate we were as a people, and we couldn't walk past the poor and the needy of our people.
No,
no, like you couldn't do here in America.
No, you couldn't do that.
We talked about that before, that there's a law of giving and receiving. Seems like people who give always have to give, whereas people who always asking and begging, they always seem to be in that position. So
right.
There is blessings when you do give and help people.
Right.
And this help, really, like if a brother was a servant to you, after 6 years, you had to help him get on his feet. You couldn't just say, okay, you worked for me seventh year, now it's time for you to go. No, you had to send him out with some sheep, some goat, so
right.
that he could get himself together.
Established, right?
Right. So if a brother comes to your house, you're trying to get him established. He ain't just hanging
right.
out doing work. No, you're
right.
trying to help him establish himself to get on his feet, just like with Jacob with Laban.
Right. Right.
Yeah, he worked for Laban, but he was also working for himself.
Exactly.
Now, he left Laban. He had substance to take care of his family,
yeah.
which he had began to build when he was under Laban.
Because you must realize this, and I do apologize for interrupting you. That brother had a hereditary portion. Maybe in his hereditary portion, he failed on bad times, hard times. So by him working for you those 6 years, and he's free to say, he can go back to his hereditary portion and maybe make a comeuppance. So you're helping him to reestablish himself in his hereditary portion. You know, we're all in this together, one for all and all for one. When you're doing good, you help a brother and a sister and help them come up on their feet. They're helping you by with the labor they're providing for you. But also in that labor, you're helping them come up and their hereditary portion. We're all immersed, interwoven in this together, one for all and all for one.
No needy in our nation, no homeless,
right.
no people living on the street looking for, you know, place to stay. No, we took care of everybody in the nation,
exactly.
which America doesn't do. If you look at
no.
it, California, they got 10 cities, people living
yeah.
out on the street, and it's a sad situation.
It is.
People just walk right past them.
Yeah. We didn't supposed to do that. And we
yeah.
had homes that could provide. And you see homeless people, you're supposed to invite them on your land to work for you. And they work for you. And after 6 years, they've had a comeuppance because they're associated with you. Yah has blessed you because you have blessed them. You have improved your lot, which inadvertently helped them improve their lot. And we're tied in this a domino effect. Yah has blessed you by doing what he required of you and has blessed your brother and her sister. They've come up as a result, and you've come up also. So you're not out of the situation, the equation. As long as you do what Yah says, it's not a burden on you to do what Yah said. It's like Cottrell said. He said he found out those always begging and borrowing, they're not trying to do anything for anyone. And so that can't come into effect that Yah is going to bless you because you're always hoarding for yourself and you're not stretching out for the brothers and sisters that you can stretch out for. Go ahead, Cottrell.
And there are some people who take advantage of people that give. There was a lady in New York, right?
Right.
And she would get a blanket and post up a sign that she's homeless, that she needed food, you know, and whatever. And she would post
right.
it up on Park Avenue. If you know anything about New York, Park Avenue is like where the rich and the upper class basically live, Park Avenue, right?
Right. Right.
She posts up on the corner of Park Avenue. People giving her donations in the snow. They see her in a blanket. One day, a news reporter decided to follow her.
Mm-hmm.
They follow her, right? And she took her blanket off. She went home. She had an apartment on Madison Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
She put on her jogging suit and went jogging in Central Park. So Madison Avenue, Park Avenue, that's the same neighborhood. You're talking about elite.
Right.
Being there where people live. She got an apartment on Madison and went jogging. She out there on the street corner all day with a blanket and people giving her money. And basically she was running a scam.
Yeah, well, see, you couldn't do that with us because you'd have to be putting in work.
No doubt. She had to work.
Well, you know, if there was lame among us and blind and couldn't see, we'd provide for them. And we had land, a land that our land would prosper. We had the hearts that the Most High would have us to have. There are men and women out there would say, look here, we got a spot. We're doing pretty well. They can't work, man. Just let them sit there, act like they're working, like they're shelling peas or something, like they're doing something. Make them feel good about themselves, you know. And then they say, well, you're 6 years up. You share them peas or whatnot. And you can go, I'm going to give you a little something. I don't want to go. Well, okay, well, you want to stay here. Well, let me get an awl and put the needle through your ear, through the door, and you're going to be with me for perpetuity, forever and a day. You don't want to go nowhere. Well, I'm going to still have a spot for you. I'm going to still take care of you, but you didn't have to stay here. Well, I'm blind. I can't walk. I can't see anyway. I love you. You ain't never mistreated. I eat good, and you ain't never beat on me, talk bad to me, whatnot. No, I don't want to go nowhere. And I love your little children. They come out here. They love me. They play with me, and I play with them, and I can't see nothing. I can't walk. I can't throw no balls at them. But they treat me like I'm a human being. I want to stay with your family. I said, say no more, you stay. See, that's what I'm talking about, brothers and sisters. See, that's
and
what
everywhere
I'm talking.
In the nation of Israel, you could eat because you couldn't glean the corners of your field. You had to leave them for the poor and the needy and the fatherless and the widow. So you could always get a meal, something to eat.
Right. The corners
of the tells us.
Right.
Most God tells us about the firstborn amongst our cattle. And our herd and our flock,
right?
You can't eat a horse. So
no.
If you have a firstborn horse, you have to bring up an offering instead of that horse.
Exactly.
Right. Or you might want to keep a firstborn bull.
Right.
But anything that's firstborn, they couldn't work like the other animals.
Right.
Or you're firstborn sheep, you couldn't take a firstborn sheep's wool.
No.
So they can't share the firstborn sheep. So they were treated differently from the rest of the flock.
Yeah, that firstborn ox or sheep or goat was treated something special. And if it wasn't lame or had any defect, it was treated special too when we got to the place of chosen. Okay, it was treated quite special. It was delicious special. Okay. But we couldn't take advantage of it. We had to treat it right, but it was delicious, special. The fat would be, we would take no fat of it. It would go to Yah on the altar. I think the priest would get the right shoulder and the cheeks or something to that effect, the right shoulder and the cheek, and we would eat the rest of it. But the fat was burnt on the altar to Yah. And certain other things in reference to whatever that offering was in regards to. Okay. Cartrell, if you're done with your commentary, my brother and friend, we'll continue right along.
So because we didn't listen to Yah, we borrowing from many nations, not lending. The Most High told us if we followed his system, his order, not only will we be able to help each other, we will be able to lend to other nations.
Right. Now it's just the reverse, just the opposite country.
What we're reading is the thing that's going to work for us.
Exactly. Because nothing else is going to work for us, Cartrell.
Nothing else has.
Point well taken. Well made and well taken, Cartrell. Nothing has. Chapter 16. Observe the month of Abib and offer a Passover sacrifice to Yah your Elohim. For it was in the month of Abib at night that Yah your Elohim freed you from misery. You shall slaughter the Passover sacrifices for Yah your Elohim from the flock and the herd in the place where Yah would choose to establish his name. You shall not eat anything with it. For 7 days thereafter, you shall eat unleavened bread, bread of distress. For you departed from the land of misery hurriedly, so that you may remember the day of your departure from the land of misery, a memorial, as long as you live. For 7 days, no leavened bread shall be found with you in your territory, in your land. None of the flesh of what you slaughter on the evening of the first day shall be left until the morning. You are not permitted to slaughter the Passover sacrifice in any of the settlements that Yah, your Elohim, is giving you, at the place where Yah, your Elohim, would choose to establish his name. There alone, not all over the place, shall you slaughter the Passover sacrifice in the evening at sundown, the time of the day. And the Most High tells us what time when we left Mizraim, in the evening time, when you departed Mizraim. That's very informational. You shall cook and eat it at the place that Yah, your Elohim, would choose. And in the morning, you may start back on your journey home. After eating unleavened bread 6 days, you shall hold a solemn gathering, respectful, quiet, gravity and dignity. For Yah, your Elohim, on the seventh day, you shall do no work. You shall count off 7 weeks. Start to count 7 weeks when the sickle is first put to the standing grain. Then you shall observe the Feast of Weeks. For Yah, your Elohim, offer your free will contributions according to Yah, your Elohim, has blessed you. You give it to Yah because you're doing good. You give it to Yah because you're doing good. Your contribution to Yah. You shall rejoice before Yah, your Elohim, with your sons and daughter, your male and female slave, the Levite in your communities, and the stranger, different nations, the fatherless, and the widow in your midst. Ain't nobody left out. At the place where Yah, your Elohim, would choose to establish his name. Bear in mind that you were slaves in Mizraim, and take care to obey these laws.
Are we supposed to do this?
And where the Most High says so, where the Most High established, in the land where the Most High established.
And he said in the place where he chooses to have his name called.
Right.
Because he said don't do it in the settlements that I'm giving you. And we know that each of the tribes got different settlements. Based on their size.
Right.
Like there was one place that.
Yeah, you had to go to you had to go to the tent. Well, at that time, we didn't have a tabernacle. We didn't have a temple. But we had a tabernacle. We had a place to go. So wherever that tabernacle was, we had to go there. But until we had the final destination, which was in Jerusalem, because as we, in our study, we found out King David said, my hands are bloody. I can't build this. It would be inappropriate for me. My hands are bloody with blood. So my son, King Solomon, will build the temple, and which were the Most High chose. And there we had to go where the Most High chose, the permanent temple.
So it took them a while to get to that point where the temple was built.
Exactly.
But in the meantime, they did have the tabernacle.
Right. And you had to go there.
Yeah.
Glad you caught yourself for pointing that out. And in place where Yah will choose to establish his name. Bear in mind that you were slaves in Mizraim and take care to obey these laws. After the ingathering from your threshing floor and your vat, you shall hold the Feast of Booth for 7 days. You shall rejoice in you. Have a good time with your son and daughter. Bring them along, your male and female slave, they coming too. The Levite, the stranger, the people of different nations, the fatherless, the orphans, the widows in your community, don't leave them out. Use your whole festival for Yah, your Elohim, for 7 to have a good time in the place that Yah will choose. For Yah, your Elohim, will bless all your crops if you do so. Cause in effect, and all your undertakings. You should have nothing but joy. Have a good time. 3 times a year. On the Feast of the Unleavened. On the Feast of the Weeks. On the Feast of Booth. 3 times. All your males shall appear before Yah, your Elohim, in the place he will choose. They should not appear before Yah empty. Don't come broke. but each with his own gift, according to the blessing that Yah, your Elohim, has bestowed upon you. Don't come here empty-handed. You shall appoint magistrates and officials for your tribes and all the settlements that Yah, your Elohim, is giving you. They should govern the people with due justice, something that we are quite unfamiliar with here. You should not judge unfairly. You should show no partiality. You should take no bribes. For bribes blind the eyes of the discerning and upset the plea of the just. Justice, justice shall you pursue. He says it twice. He's serious about this. No partiality, no bribes. Justice, justice shall you pursue. Why? Cause and effect. That you may thrive and occupy. Because if you don't have justice, it will be counterproductive. You won't thrive and occupy the land. But if you pursue justice, justice, the justice of Yah, cause and effect, you will thrive and occupy the land that Yah, your Elohim, is giving you. You should not set up a sacred post, any kind of post beside the altar of Yah, your Elohim, that you make. Any one of their idols, anything associated with the idols of these nations, or erect a stone pillar for such Yah, your Elohim, detest. Don't associate me with them. Don't set up nothing just like they do. I done told y'all what to do, how to do it, when to do it. That's all I need you to do. I don't need you to add anything to it. I don't need you to take anything from it. Don't be setting up no sacred post. You have an altar. You have high priest. You have priest. Do everything I tell you to do if you want to prosper. And you should pursue what? What should you pursue? Justice. Justice. Unlike something we're quite familiar with here. Contrary, my dear brother and friend, what is your commentary?
You know those totem poles that the Native Americans have?
Exactly.
He's talking about that sort of thing near the altar, or really anywhere, any kind of
right.
idol.
Right.
We know that the altar is in the tabernacle again. And you can see that above that, he talks about the settlement.
Right.
And you have to appoint judges and officers for all your gates or cities that Yah, your Elohim, is giving you, tribe by tribe, and they have to judge the people with righteous judgment. So he was telling us earlier that we're supposed to observe these holy days in a place that he chooses to call his name, not in the settlements that he's given us, but wherever the Most High is with that tabernacle.
Exactly.
So these are specific detailed instructions that our people continue to ignore, but the Most High is going to correct us and measure.
Exactly.
All of these holy days that we read about are in connection to our beginnings, to our birth, to us being brought out of Egypt to become a nation. Each one of those holy days, whether it be Passover, which is when Yah brought us out of Egypt, or even the weeks, the 7 weeks that we count. He says that we're supposed to do that because remember that we were slaves in Egypt. Then we will keep and obey these laws. That's for Sukkot, because we know that Yah brings forth the grain and the fruit and the crop that we eat for the Feast of Weeks. And then he talks about Sukkot, the Feast of Booths. We know that we were in the wilderness dwelling in booths, and that holy day commemorates that festival. So all these festivals and holy days that we're supposed to commemorate each year, three times in a year, all males supposed to come up, are in connection with the birth of our nation and our connection with the Most High and the covenant that he made with us.
Exactly.
Again, like you emphasized, justice, only justice you must pursue. That's the message that somebody should send to the Senate right now. All them congressmen that's watching the evil that's being done right before their eyes by their leaders. They took sworn oaths to uphold the Constitution, and the president obviously abused his power.
Right.
So,
and they're not pursuing justice. They're not pursuing. Right.
not like we're supposed to.
But Contra,
we're not going to get it here.
It
ain't no justice, no peace.
It didn't say pursue a career, a money, a fame, and fortune. It didn't say pursue that. That what it didn't say that?
Not in my book.
Oh, okay.
So that we had to have judges and officers from amongst our own people, we have to give back that respect because we've lost that. Nobody respects our men. Nobody
right.
respects our fathers. We have to reacquire that respect from our people to be their
right.
judges and to be their officers. Because we
right.
don't listen to each other. We
no,
don't.
We don't.
Hey,
we don't.
You ain't my teacher.
Yeah.
You ain't my
you're
judge.
Right. You're right. We don't listen to each other.
Who are you to judge me? Oh, no.
Right.
Most often appoint judges and officers. But they have to be righteous men and women.
Yeah. Well, you hear a lot of that nonsense. Well, you don't supposed to be judging nobody. you hear that quite often.
That's because they ain't reading what we reading.
Exactly. Somebody got to judge somebody sometime, Cartier.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you pursue justice. All right, Cartier. Okay, go ahead, brother. My apologies. Did I interrupt
you? That religion we just read in the last chapter, if your family member is pumping idols, you got to expose them.
Exactly. If they're trying to
that's
be undercover.
Judgment.
Yeah, if they're trying to be undercover idol worshipers. You're supposed to deal with it. Can't play about this. It's something serious. But, Katria, are you done with your commentary? If you're done with your commentary, we'll move right along to our next segment of study in the book of Psalms.
All right, then. We read Psalms 138 yesterday.
I'm not sure. Aviyah, may the Most High bless you, sister. Give me an update. Where is Katria in Psalms? Send me a text. Hey, look here. It's good to have a gatekeeper you can depend upon, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I've been reading so much stuff and going through so much stuff.
Yeah, okay. And she's quick, man. She's quick. 139, Katria, 139.
I know I read 138 yesterday.
Yep. 139. Thank you, Abby. I made the most. I bless you. She's quick, man. She's quick.
I hear that little tweet, tweet, tweet in the background.
you heard the message come too.
Yeah.
It's like Twitter.
Good thing it ain't Donald Trump.
Truth be told, my brother. Truth be told.
Mr. Tweety Bird. So we in Psalms 139.
139.
David. Again, we get a vision of how he saw his relationship with the Most High.
Okay.
And his relationship with the Most High is what we supposed to have. They say follow the leader. King David is the king. Yah loved him. And if we follow his pattern, Yah will love us too, as well.
Exactly.
Yah. That's the reading of his words. Yah, you have probed me, and you know me. You knew and know when I sit and when I stand up. You discern my inclinations from afar. So even his thoughts, even before he says or does anything, Yah already knows, King David, and all of us. You scrutinize my daily activities, which he does to all of us. You are so familiar with all my ways. Yah is familiar with all of us and all of our ways. That before I speak even a word, Yah, you know all about it already. How about that?
Exactly.
You have hemmed me in both behind and in front, and you laid your hand on me. Such wonderful knowledge is beyond me, far too high for me to reach. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I climb up to heaven, you are there. If I lie down in Sheol, you are there. If I fly away with the wings of the dawn and land beyond the sea, even there your hand would lead me. Your right hand would hold me fast. If I say, let darkness surround me, let the light around me be night. Even darkness like this is not too dark for you. Rather, night is as clear as day. Darkness and light are the same. For you fashioned my inmost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I thank you because I am awesomely made. Wonderfully, your works are wonders. I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes could see me as an embryo, but in your book, all my days were already written. My days had been shaped before any of them existed. Elohim, how I prize your thoughts. How many of them are there are? If I counted them, they are more than the grains of sand. If I finish the count, I am still with you. Elohim, if only you would kill off the wicked, men of blood, get away from me. They invoke your name for their crafty schemes. Yes, your enemies misuse it. Yah, how I hate all those who hate you. I feel such disgust with those who defy you. I hate them with unlimited hatred. They have become my enemies too. Examine me, Elohim, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is in me any hurtful way, and lead me along the eternal way. What kind of way, Yah?
Eternal.
Okay. Keeps popping up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Eternity, everlasting life. And you have to be examined by the Most High, your heart, your thoughts. You have to be tested because Yah knows you from jump. Matter of fact, King David is describing it, that he made you in your mother's womb. And the fact that he made you in your mother's womb and your days were already laid out shows you how awesome the Most High truly is, because he did that for each and every one of us. So we have a purpose and a cause, and we need to link it to our cause and our connection with the Most High so that we can be led along the eternal way.
Exactly. Exactly. And what stuck out to me, Cartrell, was he's known you since you were an embryo. He's known everything about you. You can't
before.
Before you were an embryo.
Because and there's three parts to you, mind, body, and soul, right?
Right.
So your soul is the life of your body, because your body is the earth, and Yah breathed the breath of life into the body.
Exactly.
And when you die, that spirit leaves your body. You become dust again.
Exactly.
Dust you are, dust you shall return. But where does the life go? Because life is always alive.
Right.
It's just the entities have to come together.
Exactly. Well, Cartrell, that's a pretty good study session. I appreciate it. I'm pretty sure the fellow students that are intense and love their studies enjoyed it too, as well as I did. And thank you very much. Cartrell,
One more thing.
Uh-huh.
He mentioned that he hates certain things. They call
right.
us a hate group, right?
Right.
But you got to put hate in perspective. And he says,
right.
Yah, how I hate those who hate you. Ain't nothing wrong
right.
with that.
Right.
I feel such disgust with those who defy you.
Right.
I hate them with unlimited hatred. So hate is not always a bad thing. They have become my enemies too.
It's
they can call
us
a hate group all they want, but we hate the wicked. We hate evil. We hate people that hate the Most High God and his plan.
Well, Cartrell, we all know that through these study sessions that there's a time and place for everything under the sun. And that is a time to hate.
And a time for love.
It's time for love. Well, Cartrell, thank you, my brother. And I'm thanking you on behalf of the fellow students. I'd like to know, what's your commentary at the end of the study session?
Well, these study sessions should make us deeper people in our meditations. And if we apply them, we'll become the service that the Most High wants us to be. And that's all we're striving for, that Yah would search our hearts, test us, prove us, try us, and really connect with us, because we are in dire straits. And we need the power of our ancient fathers, Elohim, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to deliver us like he delivered them, to do the impossible for us like he did the impossible for them. And he will, as long as our hearts are right. So we're trying to learn as much as we can. We're trying to clean ourselves up. We're trying to circumcise our hearts. And I hope that Yah's message is coming through crystal clearly to his people, because as we listen to his plan, as we listen to his order and his laws, I don't know how, you know, we could not want, you know, what Yah's trying to give us.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, Cartrell, thank you, my brother and friend, for helping and for leading in this segment of our studies. I want to thank you, two fellow students, for joining with us to study, to get a bird's eye view of Yah. Also, your interactions with him and how it should be, and your interaction with one another, and your interaction with other nations, and that there is a time to love, and there certainly is a time to hate. Not this hate they got going on, a different kind of hate. But as King Dawood said, that being said, fellow students, Cartrell, and I don't know where y'all going, but we know this is for certain. You finna get ready to get out of here. You've been listening to the Real Talk for Real People show, a show that is designed to give you a bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. In your interaction with him, in your interaction with other nations, strangers, and or should be, with our widows, our needy, our homeless, and so on and so forth. Study these lessons. Let them become an innate part of your nature, second nature to you, that you can call forth them whenever you need them, because they are your guiding light in these paths of darkness that we seem to be traveling now. Well, may the Most High bless you. And like we always suggest to y'all, we can't make you do it, but we give you this advice in closing. Our thinkers are broken. Get you a new thinker. Follow your king. If that thinker was good enough that your king asked for one, should it not be good enough for you to ask for a new thinker? The kind of thinker that loves the Most High with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, your brothers and sisters, that thirst after righteousness. That's the kind of thinker you need. That's the kind of thinker we all need. I suggested is that after this show, when you lay down at night and you're talking to Yah at night, ask him for the new thinker, because the one you got, it ain't working for you. It's working on you. It's working entirely against you. Well, we love y'all. Cartrell, I love you, brother. You stay up. May the Most High bless you. Love you too, fellow students. Stay up. May the Most High bless you. And this is the golden time of day. Shalom and good night.